In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think today is the feast of Horacio's birthday. No, something else. Okay, just checking. I was wondering if that's why we came today. At least that was my prayer. Good. Well, today we celebrate the feast day of two saints, St. Cosmas and Damian. St. Cosmas and Damian, important ones to be attentive to. The two here and what we've been preaching about in the second half of the sermon in Spanish go well because St. Cosmas and Damian, what was their profession? They're doctors. They're doctors, men of highly skilled hands of the healing arts. And so they knew all the remedies of natural science the best they can. They plied their trade in Arabia. One of the greatest things about them is, unlike our present doctors, God bless them for all that they do, but they refused, after converting to Catholicism, to ever be compensated, even the slightest bit, for what they did. They realized that they had everything that they needed, and their whole lives was only for one purpose. Why were they made? That's right. To know, love, and serve God in this life so they could be happy with him forever in the next life. That's the only reason why they existed. And so they recognized that if that's going to be their end, and if that's what they're really striving after, then who cares what they have in this life? It doesn't matter unless it builds up the kingdom of God. So radical was their belief in this, that they'd go from place to place. And as the scriptures teach, or rather, as the lives of the saints teach us about these two men, these two brothers, Cosmas and Damian, is that their healing arts were not up to the task as much as what God would do through them spiritually by working miracles. So they healed more by the miraculous power of God than they did by anything that could ever be explained by what their medical knowledge ever could bring forth. So God bless that. And so they knew all the more, if God's doing these things, how could we even begin to charge a thing for them? They lived their entire lives in that various way. Well, one day, anytime you do something good, what always follows up on it? Somebody bad doesn't like it. Because they say, this is cutting into our bottom line. If you were to come up with a cure for cancer today, I almost guarantee you that somebody's going to shut you down because the cancer is big business. And so in the same way, there were those who accused Cosmas and Damian. Not falsely, though. They accused them accurately. They said they're Christians. And so because of that, the procurator said, well, I know, here I am. I'm told that I have to put these ones to death and see it. So here they are, curing in this way. Well, let's see if that happens to be the case. And so he brought them in, hoping to raise his standing there with those who were above him off in Rome, he being out here in Arabia in these far-off lands, and began to investigate the issue, investigating it more and more. And I'll read to you exactly what happened to them within their cause. We have it here in the Roman Martyrology, and it speaks thusly of these two men when they give their testament to Christ here before the Roman procurator. They were brought before the prefect Lysias, who learnt what faith they belonged to, the Christian sect, and he commanded them to be brought before him and question them as to their way of life and the confession of their religion. And then, for as much as they owned that faith themselves to being Christians, and the Christian faith was all that is needful of obtaining salvation, he then commanded them, fine, be done with that. I'll let you go. Just show some worship to our gods here. And so under threats of torments and a most cruel death, but when he found that it was in vain to lay such things before them, he said, well, just bind their feet together and put them to the sharpest part of the question. Binding them hand and foot, he took them out to a large body of water and said, are you really willing to go through with this? Hoping that by that, that at least confess and go back, and he would let them go back and practice their curing arts and doing good things which are here, but they refused. Nevertheless, they refused. And Cosmas and Damian abode still of the same mind, it says, and therefore they were cast into the depth of the sea, bound as they were. But what happened to them? They floated. They came right back up to the surface. And if you've seen Monty Python, you know that the only person who can fly up if they're bound is a witch, right? Not the case. So they floated to the top. Seeing that he couldn't drown them in the way here, he bade them come forth whole and unbound. And the prefect, therefore, would have it come to pass that, well, this is some form of magic. Some form of magic that is keeping there. So he held them captive overnight, brought them in the next day again, and bade them to confess another faith, to turn to these pagan gods, and they would not. So he ordered them to be thrown into the fire. If water cannot end them, what about fire? And as they put the fire near them, what the fire did is it danced away from them. And so the fire didn't even come close to them. He said, how is this even possible that the fire is avoiding these men? And seeing that this would be the case, he proceeded then to torture them in all sorts of ways, to rack them, to see in that way, because he saw that their flesh would not resist the rakes, would not resist the iron implements that would be thrown at them. And then after them still refusing to turn away from their Christ, They were smitten with the axe. And so ended their lives. Thus do they bear witness for Christ Jesus until they grasp the palm of their victory and testimony. Such is the life of these ones. And so what do we see there? The greatest joy of these ones was to make sure that they received no payment for whatever healing arts they did, for their joy was to be in the same place where our Lord was, to be with those who were sick. Our Lord says, I came not the physician, rather, the it is not the well who need a physician, but rather the sick. And so for I have come not for the righteous, but to bring sinners unto repentance. And seeing that, Cosmas and Damian were always there, recognizing it's the sick for which God has come. And so it is our great joy to minister unto the bodies of those who are sick and suffering. St. Cosmas and Damian give you and I good reason, good way to ply our trade, whatever it is that God has given us, not for a vainglory which ends within this life or a compensation which will get you and I to go forward from day to day, but to get one which know where moth and rust cannot break in and destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. To let our hearts be where our treasure is, as it says in the Gospel of Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. St. Cosmas and Damian's treasure and heart, both in the same place, with God in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. El libro de Job nos muestra el problema del sufrimiento de un hombre inocente. No ha hecho nada malo. Dios no los castiga. Pero ¿cómo le va a Job? Salió de la experiencia del sufrimiento fortalecido en la virtud. ¿Por qué? ¿Por qué hecho Job? Porque su fidelidad a Dios no depende de tener una vida sin dolor. Satanás piensa que la gente solo sirve a Dios por lo que obtiene de él. Pero el cristiano sirve a Dios porque él es nuestro Padre. Nuestro Padre, lo amamos porque Él nos amó primero. Estaría bien que el libro Job fuera de la última persona inocente que sufra. Pero no, este libro es solo una predicción de la pasión de Cristo, que es el siguiente ejemplo del sufrimiento inocente. El Dios perfecto sufre por la humanidad imperfecta. Parece que Job sabía que esta vendría porque dice en la mitad del libro, sé que mi Redentor vive. My Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Tal vez esta unción de sufrimiento con el futuro, sufrimiento de Jesús, le ayudó a sufrir bien. Eso es lo que nos ayuda a ti y a mí a seguir adelante en el sufrimiento. Conduciré con unas palabras de una mujer que murió en los años 90, en los 1990s. Chiara Lubick. Ella es una mujer italiana. Ella entendía el sufrimiento. Un día puede ser un santa, ¿verdad? Su causa está siendo propuesta en este momento. Maybe one day she'll be a saint. She's being proposed for one at the present moment. Ella dice, una vez que la ofrenda se ha hecho, debemos tratar de no pensar en ese problema en particular. Debemos concentrar nuestra mente en cumplir lo que es la voluntad de Dios para nosotros. Allí donde estemos, en la familia, en nuestro trabajo, en la oficina, en la escuela, cualquier donde estamos. Sobre todo, preocuparnos, amar a los que Dios ha puesto a nuestro lado. Si hacemos esto, nos llevaremos una maravillosa sorpresa. Nuestra alma se llenará de paz, de amor, de pura alegría, de luz. Nos encontraremos elevados por una nueva energía. Veremos cómo podamos participar en la obra del resucitado mediante nuestra unión con la cruz. Revitalizados por este descubrimiento, podamos ayudar a nuestros amigos a encontrar consuelo en medio de sus lágrimas. Nos convertimos en instrumentos de alegría para muchísimas personas. Difundiremos una felicidad que no conoce límites. Fin de su enseñanza. Este es el modo de ser un santo, de sufrir bien en todos vuestros sufrimientos de la vida. Pide a Dios por esta gracia hoy. Él quiere darnos la cada uno de nosotros. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo.